From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad you joined us for the 78th episode of the podcast, and as the last few episodes have been true, Leah's back with us again. Leah, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we mentioned on the last program, Leah, that we're going to be talking about lads to leaders a little bit, but before we get there, a couple of little changes in our life, one of which is crawling around under our feet right now. What in the world is going on in our house?
We have a kitten that we've found, actually, all alone. We found a kitten all alone across the street. Well, actually, he was in the road, and we saw someone try to pick him up out of the road and put him in the other yard. But we've asked around and can't find the owner, so we're trying to take care of this little kitten.
Yeah, it's
pretty little.
So we've gone from having no animals to having Cujo the Wonder Dog outside to now having a cat who's... I actually believe this is a puma or a lynx that's actually just setting us up.
Maybe.
That's my belief. Because he's only about a foot long. When we got him, he was a little tiny thing. And he's like doubled in size in a week. I'm thinking the next 6 months he's gonna turn to a lynx. That's my guess. But we also have a couple other very special guests you've already heard on the podcast, even though they weren't supposed to be talking yet, but, you know, they're getting used to this. But we're getting ready to go to Lads to Leaders, so we're going to have a couple little special guests with us here. Mary Carroll is back on the program. Mary Carroll, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Turner is also back on the program. Turner, welcome back.
Thank you.
And they're podcasting experts at the tender ages of 11 and 10, but... We always enjoy Lads to Leaders, and we're going to let the kids talk for just a few moments here. I'm going to ask them a couple questions about it, and then Leah and I will continue the program. But I'm like, Mary Carroll, you're the oldest, so I'll start with you. And ladies first anyway, Turner.
I'm going to agree.
Okay, we're going to work on manners next year for Lads to Leaders, I guess. But Mary Carroll, not just this year for Lads to Leaders, but just overall, why do you, because I know you like doing some things at Lads to Leaders, why do you like it so much?
I like it because it lets us be able to learn stuff and learn how to do things with other people in front of others, like Bible reading and speech and learning how just to say things and pronounce things and learning what to do when you're asked, like, sometimes people are asked to speak at ladies' days or groups or somewhere, and you need to know how to set up a small speech or a larger one or something like that.
Yeah, and and Turner, I know you also like it because you look forward to speaking at ladies' days, right?
No!
Now, why do you like Lads to Leaders so much?
I like it because I get to do activities with my friends, and I just like walking around the hotel, and I just... The hotel is so beautiful.
How did I know that would be part of his answer? I was actually thinking about this earlier today, trying to think of kind of how to lay this program out a little bit, and I thought, when I ask this question, I guarantee you Turner will bring up the hotel.
Yeah, it's just like a jungle inside a building.
For those who are unaware, Lads to Leaders has several locations. Was it six or seven now? I can't remember. They seem to add one like every year now. But we go to Nashville, and it's at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, which is basically like living in Biodome. It is huge. And we always look forward to it, and Turner always looks forward to walking around the part that has, especially the part that has the water fountain and plants and stuff. And it is a cool part of it. You know, Leah, one thing you and I have talked about before was a time that we lived in Nashville, and one of the deacons at Lebanon Road started Lads to Leaders, and we would go. We enjoyed going, but it wasn't quite as special because we were right there. I mean, it's like, you know, we always enjoyed going and walking around the hotel. We didn't even stay at the hotel. We drove home. But now that we live here, and we're, about 3 hours, I guess, from the hotel, that part of Nashville anyway, that's... obviously the spiritual nourishment is the biggest thing. That's where we spend most of our time talking about. But that is a big deal, that, you know, the convention itself, the trip, the hotel, that part of it.
It makes it more special that, you know, that you don't just go and the events, you're busy when you're there, but it's just the atmosphere, being able to, and more comfortable even. I remember it being hard to be there for events but not have anywhere to go in between the events.
Yeah, just walk around the hotel
right.
for
and there's not
hours
that, you don't have that much downtime, but it's, I guess we did more then because our kids were just really small and Lebanon Road had a small group, so it wasn't as go as
right.
maybe it is now that they're older.
Yeah, so it is a big part of it. And Mary Carol mentioned that she likes, you know, doing things, but it, for people who aren't familiar with Lives to Leaders, it's not just the convention and it's not just stuff at the convention. You know, Mary Carol, you've done things like Centurion of Scripture, memorized Bible verses, and Keepers, and things like that. Why do you like some of those things we do kind of during the year, not just, you know, speech and leading a song and that kind of stuff?
I like trying to make a goal and trying to accomplish many verses at a time. I think that's fun, of how we can have a goal, set it, and accomplish it, and feel good about accomplishing something through the year.
Yeah, they, the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, have memorized 100 verses, not in one sitting, but we're proud of them for that. Turner, what's something, we're going to talk in a minute about, you know, like song leading and that kind of stuff. What's something besides like song leading speech that you enjoy doing for the last 2 years?
Puppets.
Why do you like puppets so much? Mary Carol has allergies, by the way. Welcome to pollen season, also known as February through April in the state of Alabama.
Well, anyway, the reason I like puppets is because I like doing things with the team, and most years, getting near to Lost Leaders, puppets is the only like team thing I have.
Yeah, and puppets is kind of where we're at here at 9th Avenue. It's kind of a big deal. One of the neat things, I guess, is most of the kids that are, you know, in those grades that do puppets, they do puppets. Even though it's not a major serious thing, it's kind of a fun event. You know, it's kind of more kind of let your hair down, you know, not debate and speech and song reading. So it's pretty neat, and we get to see the kids always work on that. Mary Carol, what are you doing this year at Lads to Leaders? What kind of, and just like, we'll kind of mention one thing at a time. We'll walk through them here for a minute or so.
Okay, I'm doing Bible reading this year.
Yeah, and you all are both doing that, and you're actually reading the same passage. So what passage are you reading?
We're reading Luke chapter 10, verse 27 through 39.
Which is the
parable
of the
Good Samaritan.
We've got to practice that some more, obviously. Yeah, so that's a good event. And that's an event for those we assume most people know what Lads to Leaders is. If you don't, we're going to throw in a couple little explanation here. That event is just about a 1 to 2 minute Bible reading out loud. Oral Bible reading is what's called. And they choose a passage and try to read it, you know, just aloud. In that setting, so, and it's through sixth grade, I think, mm-hmm. is how the grade that goes up through. Mary Carol, this will be her last year in that event.
No.
Insert the tears. Mm. Okay, what's something else you're doing?
I'm also doing speech this year.
Yeah, what's your speech about?
It's about Ruth 3:5.
Yeah, but you're kind of using that verse as kind of a springboard to talk about somebody else in the Bible, aren't you?
I'm also talking. It's about mainly John and Jesus. Wait.
Not John?
No.
How many times have I heard? Have you given this speech to
Peter?
Peter
and John.
Not John.
She's got allergy fog.
That's right.
I think the allergies have blocked my mind.
Yeah. I promise she knows her speech very well. We're recording this later at night, too, than normal. But yeah, you're talking about Peter and how he did everything the Lord told him to do after John chapter 21. And you're also leading a song for Songs of Praise, right?
Yes, sir.
What song are you doing for that? Do you remember? I hope.
We praise thee, O God.
There we go. All right, she remembered that. That makes me feel better. I was getting concerned. People are going to think, yeah, they work with their kids. Sure. Mm-hmm. You do the family podcast. And no, but And on top of that, she's on a puppet team. In fact, Mary Carol and Turner are on the same puppet team. They're doing Bible Bowl, and then we've done some of these year-round things. Turner, you've already mentioned that you're doing the same Bible reading as Mary Carol, the Good Samaritan, and you're doing speech. What's your speech about?
My speech is about how we need to obey God and, like, get the job all the way done. And I'm kind of, like, merging or phasing, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, mixing that in with Ruth.
Okay, so, yeah, and, we're also talking our family Bible time sometimes about how we need to listen to our own speeches about getting jobs all the way down things. And you're also doing song leading. What song are you leading?
I'm leading Victory in Jesus.
We have some more practicing to do, obviously. But no, they've worked hard so far, and
he's led a lot of songs. He doesn't just lead them for last leaders.
That's
so.
That is actually true. One thing.
So is Mary Carol.
One thing we do at Ninth Avenue is most Sunday evenings, not every Sunday evening, but before evening services, we have a little singing class, and Mr. Eric, who kind of runs that, always lets Turner lead a song if we're there, and Turner leads, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 different songs, so it's kind of hard to remember which one he's doing this time. But so these guys really like Lads to Leaders, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes.
And we always look forward to it, and we always come home exhausted.
Yes.
Yes.
But, with the flu.
Or with the flu, like we did last year. Yeah, that was miserable.
Yes.
All but me. I was the nurse for the whole family.
Tired.
I was tired because everyone else had the flu.
That's right. So, all right, we're going to let Mary Carol and Turner get up and go here. And so Miss Lee and I are going to continue on with the podcast. But we appreciate them for being with us and telling us a little bit about their lives, sweeters, what they're looking forward to. And but you guys did a good job. Good job, guys. Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.
All right, while they head out, Leah, before we continue our talk of Lads to Leaders, let's give our update here. Because major developments. We finally finished the second novel this week in Wizard of Oz. We finally finished the second novel of Wizard of Oz, and as we said all through the second novel, even the ending was weird. We don't want to give it away. We don't want to give a spoiler alert or anything. But we've now started the third novel, which is, Ozma of Oz. Mm-hmm. And it took me... We're actually into it fairly well. Four or five chapters, I guess. And the cat is biting my foot. But we're into that book a little bit. I did not realize, Leah, this is the novel that the movie Return to Oz was based on. Because it has the hen, the chicken, it has the trees, you take the pails and eat and everything. And I remember seeing that movie when I was a kid and thought it was like, even then I thought it was like the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, you said you thought it was pretty weird. I'm not sure.
Which doesn't give me a whole lot of hope for this novel, but it's not as nuts so far as the second one.
Very often the book is better.
Yes, but what I mean is the second one we finished, the second novel we finished, was nuts. This one is fantasy, but it doesn't just seem to be as totally nuts so far. But so we are into the third novel, probably, I don't know, a quarter of the way through it. And considering Lads to Leaders is coming up next week, we'll probably be about a quarter of the way through it the next time we record a podcast.
And I think it's funny in this one, what's the little round?
The TikTok.
The TikTok. And when you're reading his his words,
they wrote his talk as if he were a machine, so everything is hyphenated, and so it's written. I'll just give a demonstration. It's written out as if you are reading like this. Everything is hyphenated, so you have to read it one syllable at a time like a machine. And so I've kind of done that through, and the kids think it's funny.
And it's funny because he'll be in a conversation with someone, so you're reading normally if the other characters are talking to him, and then you can switch, and it is so funny. I will say
it was funny the first little bit, and then it started giving longer things to say. It's like half a page of that, and you're like, man alive, this is crazy. But so that's where we are in our trip through the Wizard of Oz novels. And but this one, as I said, if you've seen Return to Oz, bless you for having survived that. But this is the novel that's based on. All right, Leah, back to some Lads to Leaders stuff here. We're not gonna spend the whole program on it probably, but we when we were here at 9th Avenue, I was a youth minister. It was a massive deal, and it's still a big deal here. We went to Nashville. They actually didn't do it the first, 2 years, I guess, and then they started it there. But Lance Leaders is one of those things. It's just a program. It's just a tool. It is under the oversight of local elders. And in the show notes for this episode, by the way, we've got a lot of links to Lads to Leaders, but also to some things we've written on our site before, as well as an article from Cindy Colley that deals with Lads to Leaders. It's something we like, but one of the things, Leah, that I really like about it, you know, I've talked about this many times before, is each congregation and or each family can kind of customize it to them. You don't have to do everything. You can kind of dip your toe in the water, is what I'm trying to say, or you can go full bore or whatever you want to emphasize. And that's really key for something that elders, you know, elders are going to be over at a congregation or a family is going to be doing together. And I really appreciate that about this program.
I think that's right. I mean, there's really too much for any one person to be involved in. I mean, I would say that if that was going to happen, you would be one busy family if you even had one child involved in every single activity. And, of course, there are ages of some, but, you know, if it was possible for them to do every one in their age group, you would be busy because, I mean, I don't think most – There are a lot of events I think people just don't know much about, and so they don't even try to do them, but really would be beneficial. We've always said the mass media mm-hmm. events, really, I mean, more and more, that really is a skill that children need to learn. And
in fact, well, just to cut you off for a second, that's something I've already judged this year, because I judged mm-hmm. article editorial this year, and I think I had 7th, 8th, 9th grade, something like that. It was middle school age, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it was. But I really enjoyed grading them. I mean, it was kids, mm-hmm. so there were mistakes, and there were some that were better than others, but I really enjoyed it. And obviously, as someone who, you know, writes a lot, a blog, but also sermons and things, I kind of enjoyed that kids are, we've got a generation of kids that aren't afraid to try to write something. But there's also, you know, audio recording and things in that mass mm-hmm. media. But I just want to throw that in that I really enjoyed doing that this year, judging that this year. Yeah,
but, you know, those are some events that you really can, if someone had a real talent in that, or you wanted to build a talent in that. And I think there's another thing that I love about Lads to Leaders, actually, in all of the events, is that I don't think kids who just do what they feel like they're good at. The purpose of it is to get better at something. So you got a kid who's scared half to death to get up in front of people. Well, this would be a good way to help them conquer that fear.
Especially if they're younger, something like oral Bob reading is perfect for
them. Right, because it's just it's shorter time. And mm-hmm. Right, you're
and,
right.
And one of the best things, too, about that is starting young. You know, mm-hmm. kindergarten through second grade, events like oral Bob reading, song reading, speech, they're not even graded. And the running joke, and I've literally seen it happen, oral Bible reading is supposed to be 3rd through 6th grade is, I think, 1 to 2 minutes. But K through 2, there is no time limit. I have mm-hmm. literally seen a kid walk up there and say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and sit down. That kid got up there. Mm-hmm. That's more than some 11th
right,
graders will do.
Right.
And so, you know, I really appreciate that they do that for smaller kids. And, you know, now our kids are in those, you know, grades where things are judged and everything. But I remember watching Turner get up and, you know, I'll brag, but he's always done well. But I was always thankful that in those K through 2 events, I hate to say it, but it didn't matter if he did well. He right. got up there. And that's all that really mattered.
Right.
So that's a couple of things we really appreciate about it. But one of the things I want to just take, you know, a couple minutes to talk about is obviously we're heading to, you know, the convention next week. Ours is in Nashville, we're some in what, Atlanta, Louisville, Indianapolis. I shouldn't have started naming these. Memphis, Dallas, and one or two more, I think. But anyway, we are big proponents as a family of what we sometimes call the year-round stuff. We've mentioned a couple of times Centurion of Scripture. That's an event where you memorize 100 verses. And on an earlier podcast, before you and I started doing these together again, I did a little mini podcast one time about how we were trying to have our kids, and we were kind of joining in it, memorize the entire book of Ruth. It's 80-something verses. You know, one verse at a time. None of us can sit down and quote the book of Ruth. But just one verse at a time. And some of those verses are long, and you got mad at me a few times for forcing the kids to do that, I think. But that's just you know, one event. That's one of these kind of year-round things that you work on just individually or as a family, or, you know, small group of kids at church. You know, things like Bible Bowl, reading through the Bible. I always forget what they call that, parade of leaders or something. But anyway.
Winners. Right now it's Read the Word.
Read the Word, yeah. They'd have events like, you know, bulletin boards. Our kids have been in charge of a bulletin board at church. Each one has had a bulletin board. They've changed out, what, four times or something. And we are huge about that because we've been on the podcast before, on the blog before 1,000 times, you know, about things like family Bible time. And that, this is a natural to just whatever you're doing. If you want to do a Bible story for your family Bible time and memorize a verse that goes along with it, you're helping with Lights to Leader. And it's just a natural way to fit in some of that stuff in an organized way, that year-round stuff.
And I think that a lot of families, you know, there are families that are really good about making a family plan and laying out some things we want our kids to work on and be better at, build some skills. But not all families are that way. And a lot of families are, you know, running around and they're busy, and especially if you have more than one or two children, you have all these things going on in your life. And I think the year-round events for something like Lads to Leaders is just so good to give your family nothing else but maybe a training plan when you maybe just don't have the mental room to come up with it yourself. You know, I think sometimes, you know, it's good for parents to want to specifically work with their child and they do it their own way, but Lads to Leaders is a great tool just kind of keep you on track, and it would be, it very much would be a year-round training plan for your whole family. And there's so many different events. Yeah. So many.
And one that we'll have a link to this in the show notes. And we will readily admit, I dropped the ball on it this year, but one that we love and I'm looking forward to kind of reemphasizing this next year is the Advanced Bible Reader. Mm-hmm. Apologetics Press does it. I wrote a blog article about it. We found out about it. I sent some links, and again, it's in the show notes. We'll give that address in just a minute. But the kids, depending on what grade level they're in, at first I think they just like reading part of the Bible or something. But then there's also some things they've worked with Apologetics Press, where they read a book of the Bible, or they read some materials from Apologetics Press, some of the little reader books and things, and they have a little quiz, a little test. And once they get a certain number of points on those tests, they get a bigger award, you know, bigger level award at Lads to Leaders. And I like that event. Again, it fell through with us. It's my fault. I'll say right here in front of everybody, you know, the seven people who listen, I'll admit it to them, you know. But I look forward to kind of reemphasizing that again this next year, because our kids love those materials. And this gives them, you know, a little extra incentive to, you know, read Discovery Magazine, which they get, or read one of these readers, one of these books. And it goes up through some of the harder books that Apologetics Press puts out for, you know, more tweens, I guess might say.
Yeah, like that Truth Be Told book. And that's really a textbook that, you know, that we will end up using in our own homeschool.
Right. But then there's also quizzes on various books of the Bible. Like, you know, this year for Bible Bowl at Lights to Leaders, the books of Ruth, Esther, and then part of Job. Well, now, our kids did do that when they finished the book of Ruth. Mm-hmm. They took the little test on Ruth and got a few points for it. Thankfully, they did a good job. Made me feel better. But, you know, if you're looking for something to do as a family Bible time, or if you homeschool or looking for, you know, something somewhat simple maybe for a Bible curriculum, there's things like that that fit in. And as I said, I love the trip, okay? You and I always kind of dread it a little bit because we're having to pack, you know, everything. But as far as once we get there and see the kids excited and all that, we love it. We enjoy it. We're tired, but we love it. But my favorite thing about it is the year-round aspect, but that it's customizable. Right. Our family doesn't have to do the same thing as our next-door neighbors who are members of the church, or even another family who has kids the same age. They may want to emphasize, you know, second language, for example, that maybe one of their kids really wants to be, you know, teach sign language when they grow up. That's something you can do. Maybe we don't. Maybe we want our kids to memorize verses of the Bible. But also a congregation can customize. You know, I have known congregations before that only wanted their kids to do speech and song reading. That's the elder's discretion. That's fine.
Right.
There are others that do anything and everything. That's what Ninth Avenue basically is, do anything and everything. And I still remember, Leo, when we were a youth ministry, I won't name the name because it would be embarrassing to this person, but we had a young person that, I will give the gender, her senior year was in 17 events. 17. I thought she was nuts. But she said, this is my last chance to do this. And she had grown up in the program, loved the program, and wanted to do whatever she could that last year and entered 17 different events in 1 year because Ninth Avenue is a place that says, mm-hmm. Do it all the way through. So that's our last Twitter spiel. And let me ask you, Leah, what are you, as far as the trip, you know, we go to the hotel and everything next week. It's always on Easter weekend. What do you in general look forward to? And then kind of maybe there's something you're looking forward to specifically this year about the trip, the convention.
Well, I always look forward to seeing our own children get up and do something like, you know, we see them work on a speech and, you know, you sat with both of them and took their thoughts and helped them with how to put a speech together. And we
can honestly say our kids wrote their, now we edited a little bit here and there,
but it's
their
thoughts. That's and, right. And, you know, you would help them maybe reword a sentence that was awkward or something. But these are thoughts from their own little hearts that they've grown up learning about the Bible and things that they want to say. And just to get to see them do that in front of someone else that's, you know, not just us. And it makes me, because that's what we want. We want both of our children to be able to get up and be leaders and be able to do this and do a good job with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think now as a parent, that's one of my favorite things. You know, in general, I love seeing all of the kids do that. I think they get so excited most of the time. And then another thing I actually love is seeing a child who's scared to death and the mom is being a good mom and trying to be supportive. But once, I can't remember. I want to say sometime she was so scared, but they finally got her up there, and she could barely even get started. She was just that scared, but, you know, they wanted her to be able to do it. And I want to say maybe they even stood there with her, or at least, like, right there on the front row, like, kneeling down just so she could know, like, I'm right here, you know. But that's what it's about, is just teaching and training and learning and growing. And that's what I love about Lights to Leaders. It's just building a skill set and not just being so content with, well, I don't want to do that, or I'm not good at that. Well, you can be good at things. I mean, I've always really believed that. We have talents, but we can grow even in things that we're not so great at.
Well, but it's also, like you said, you know, trying something. You may not be good at it, but you're not going to know until you try. You know, you try a mass media event or whatever. You may stink at doing audio recording, but you tried it.
And you're not good. Most of the time, you're not good at something when you first start. You really have to, you try it, you get better at it. You know, it's rare. There are the kids that get up there and they just knock it out of the park, you know, and you can tell that they just have a natural talent for leading a song or for giving a speech. And these are just some of the more public things you get to see, you know, mm-hmm. there at the convention. But then there are also more kids who get up there and they might not be so great at it, but maybe a little bit by little bit, year after year, they improve. And that's, they may still not be the best speech giver, but if you've improved and you've tried to say, you know, if we understand why we're doing it, it's all about just serving God better and, you know, being able to get up and do some things and be leaders in the church and leaderettes in the church and do a good job with it. And not, I mean, you know, we didn't have the chance to do this growing up, and I think it would have been nice for us to have been able to do that.
And I appreciate what you said about just, you know, just seeing the kids get excited, and, you know, they get excited for each other too. You know, somebody else from church gets second place in art. Mm-hmm. Your kids just as excited as they are, it seems like, just because it's just really cool. All right, we're running a little bit long, but I've got to share three quick stories. Okay. My three favorite stories from last year is two of them funny, one serious. Okay? I'll start with the funny ones. You know one of them I'll tell. I went one time to K-2 speech. And I think it was actually when Nicholas was in K-2. I think it was actually him. But if
who
it,
just turned 22.
Yeah, if it wasn't, it was one of the kids from here. But I actually think I went to hear him. But there was a little boy in there, not Nicholas, but a little boy in there. I don't know what the most southern town in America is as far as accent goes, but that's where he was from. And he couldn't have been more than 2.5 feet tall. And he was going to tell us the story of David and Goliath. And he told us the story of David and Goliath, including some details that I'm quite certain are not in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And there was no point of application. There was no illustration. It was straight telling the story, including this little boy getting right to the end and talking about David, you know, knocking over Goliath with the stone. And then this little boy got real serious, looked at us and said, "And cut his head off." And then just walked off. That was the end of his speech. And I promise you, that's nowhere near a southern drawl. And I'm not making fun of southern drawl. It made it cuter. There's not a human I know who could do it as southern as that boy did. But it was hilarious. I don't think I'll forget that as long as I live. Story number two, the other funny one, has to do with our own kids. When Turner was doing a speech one time, or getting ready to do a speech one time, we were waiting in the room, and we had the schedule that year. We were early, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, so we were there, you know, early morning. These boys, they don't want to be in there. They want to still be in bed or watching cartoons or something, right? And it's 5-6 minutes before it's time to start, and all of a sudden I see Turner just turn around with this look on his face like, I couldn't tell if it was panic or excitement or what, and I'm thinking, it's still like 4 or 5 minutes start. Is he like getting sick or something? What's going on here? His tooth had fallen out. And he goes, "Daddy, my tooth!" And ran back, and I had to hold his tooth for the rest of this time in speech. But I thought,
it just popped out. I remember this.
It just popped out, yeah. And I thought, wow, yeah, I've done a lot of things as a preacher and youth minister and speaker. Never had to do it after I lost a tooth. That would be a new one. The third story is one that's really serious, and this happened last year. And by the way, I've got a link in the show notes to the article I wrote about it. We had a little bit of time last year between events. We were just going to try to, you know, chill a little bit, maybe go to the room, rest for a minute. And we had me walking by the ballroom where Bartimaeus was going on. Mm-hmm. For those who aren't familiar, Bartimaeus is a series of events they do last year for people with special needs. And for some reason, something within me just said, we need to go in and just participate, just watch for, I think we spent about I called the article 5 minutes with Bartimaeus or something. That's about how long we spent. And to watch our kids sing with, or you know, whatever. Well, I know one was a song. Maybe both of them were a song. We were in there. People who will never be able to, you know, I hate to put it this way, but speak properly, you know, live a quote-unquote normal life and everything. It changed me, I know, and I hope it changed the kids a little bit. I love that event. It's for people with special needs and to watch our kids, and we went back to the room, we had a little cry together, you probably remember that, and I just told the kids, I said, I wanted you to see that, in part because, yes, we want you to do your best, at your speech, your song, your art, whatever, but you're just simply getting up there and doing the best you can is what matters. It's not winning, because none of those people in Bartimaeus are ever going to win first place speech at Lights to Leaders or Song Leader or anything else, but they were doing the best they could. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the kids to see that. And I remember, I mean, I was squalling like a baby. Part of that's because you're just totally exhausted. And I had the flu. We found out later. So I was fighting all kinds of stuff that day. But it just really hit me that day, and I hope it hit the kids, reminded them of why we do this. It's not just to win something, right? It's to do your best.
And that is a real challenge, because, you know, the kids go there and they see the awards, and the award ceremonies are a big deal. And I mean, who doesn't want to win an award?
Oh, of course.
You know, who doesn't?
Which,
I mean,
by the way,
what parent doesn't want to see their kid, you know, get the first place in speech, you know, well, is like one of the big deals.
I'll say this too. And this is a secondary thing, but it's also one of the advantages of things like the year-round awards. Mm-hmm. If you memorize 100 verses, you get a trophy or a medal or whatever, and you get recognized. You get an award. And so it's a secondary thing, but it does help.
But, you know, as we have our own children, you know, you've been in charge of Lights to Leaders as a youth minister, and we would always try, you know, to caution families and children that, you know, we want you to do your best, but we would always, you know, go through that you're getting up there and you're trying, and that's good. You know, I remember seeing kids who had worked hard get awards, and sometimes they would work hard and they wouldn't. And And we would always, you know, try to comfort them with that. But now with our own children, I think that's more important to us than ever. Mm-hmm. It's just to say we want them to learn and go through the process of these events for the right reason, not just so they can win an award. And really, you know, I remember Turner doing a painting, I guess it was last year, and he was so excited about getting an award. And he kept thinking he was, and I was trying, you know, we had seen all the paintings. And I didn't realize, I think they do finalist in art now, and they used to not really do that.
It depends on how many there are.
And so I would say, you know, Turner, there are a lot of good paintings here, you know, and I wanted him to know. And well, he ended up getting finalists. It was like a shock. I could not believe it. But even then, though, we were trying to tell him that, you know, there's a lot of good paintings here, good paintings. And I don't know, it's a good lesson all the way around. It's good for the events. But I remember, I'll tell a funny story.
Sure. We'll close on this one.
This was a story, and it applies to something like Lads to Leaders, but there was a story about some kind of pageant that, you know, like a Miss America kind of pageant. Actually, it was some kind of Miss USA or Miss America pageant, but I remember as a young girl watching this, and someone mentioned something, one of the interview questions was about winning or not winning or something. And she said, this contestant said that her aunt had told her that, you know, someone's always going to be better and prettier and, you know, smarter. You know, you're not always in, you know, and it, you can get into that where you think you're going to be the best. You're going to, and her aunt said, they're not. And you just, the only thing you need to hope for is that she's not on stage with you that night or something. So that's kind of how we want to approach it. You know, someone's always going to be a better speaker. But we just hope that they do their best. And sometimes maybe they were just the best that day.
Yeah, so. Makes me think earlier this week, Turner and I went to a gospel meeting at 6th Avenue in Jasper, and David Shannon preached. And if you've never heard David Shannon preach, you've missed a treat. We were leaving, and I told Turner, I said, boy, David's just a, you know, great preacher. And Turner, bless his heart, said, you're good too, Dave. And I said, yeah. But I said, Turner, you know, I said, some people are just better. And I said, some people are just better at others at doing certain things. And bless his heart, Turner goes, well, why are you so bad? I was like, I wasn't trying to go that far. Hopefully I'm not horrid at my job. But, you know, but that's what we're trying to get them to see is you can graduate people when they do their best. And some people are just better, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. So we've gone a while tonight. We usually in these podcasts have been trying to cover several things. But since this is kind of, you know, the big thing going on in our life right now, we wanted to just take this whole program pretty much and talk about it. 2 weeks from this program, we'll be back with you and talk about probably several things. We've got several links to talk about in our docket already. You can find links to several things about Lads to Leaders, their homepage, as well as some articles that have been written and so on and so forth about Lads to Leaders on the show notes for this episode. And those can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD78. fawnfamily.com/POD78. And we'll be back with you again in a couple of weeks. Leah, love you.
Love you too.
And until next time, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.